Hello, everyone, and welcome back to a new podcast. I'm your host, Marcos. With my fellow co-host, as always, Justin.
Hello. Welcome back to the new podcast. Today, we have an amazing guest. But before we start that, how are you, my friend?
I'm doing great, actually. Yeah. Pretty good day so far. What about yourself, sir?
Great. Any life updates for everyone?
Let me see. Any life updates? Me and Justin are going to Hawaii soon next year. Excited for that. Never been to Hawaii. I'm definitely excited for the next year. You know, I'm excited for the podcast. Yeah. I'm excited for both of us. We got a lot of like big life moves that we're going to be making, and it's 2023.
Don't say that yet. It's 2022.
Okay. I know, but we're there. I'm just excited, man. Yeah. Whenever it gets to December time, around this time, I'm always. It's hard not to be joyous, but at the same time, it's always fun to reflect on the year you just
definitely.
Had. You know,
I definitely. Can relate to that. I've had a crazy ass year, from ups and downs to in betweens. It's been a wild year for me, man. I mean, starting the year off, I remember this time last year, 2021, I had a really bad panic attack, like a really bad anxiety attack. I remember coming home crying to my mom, saying that I'm so frustrated with my life. This time last year, I was in the Philippines playing professional basketball, and I'm here doing nothing. And that shit gave me such an existential crisis. It was insane. And little did I know, coming into the new year, the next year, literally 2 months into the new year, I was going to get an opportunity that I never thought I would get.
Right.
So sometimes rock bottom, it just goes up after that. Once you hit rock bottom, it just goes up.
Yeah, I mean, you're already at the bottom. I mean, how much more low can you go, right?
Yeah.
All you can do is look up. And I mean, you looked up, persevered, and, you know, you stepping into that realm allowed you to, you know, meet new people and have these experiences, and especially out there in the Philippines, is that where you first started, right?
Yeah. And that's where I met this guest that we're having, Lance Raymundo, which is just an incredible soul to talk to and just to have here on this podcast. Such a genuine soul, man. I mean, dude, that was a great conversation. I mean, I can't even describe to you, especially in the end, towards the end, when we talk about a certain incident he had in his life.
It's crazy because we've heard this story before, but every single time I hear it, it's just goosebumps and a definite tear to my eye. And just, it's an amazing story about perseverance and just how he is as a person, you know, and what he brings to the table. And you get to see all that in the episode.
Yeah.
So I'm excited for you guys to listen to this one.
Yeah. So hope you guys enjoy Lance Raymundo.
Welcome to the new podcast.
All right, let's do it. So Lance, how are you, man? How's everything? It's been, what, 3 years since I last saw you?
I've been good, guys. It's been a long time. It's been like 2.5 years or something, right?
Yeah, I think almost three. And dude, it felt like yesterday, man. And I just want to know, man, how's work? You know, making shows, TV shows, movies, how's everything?
Yeah, the last time we spoke was like the height of the pandemic. Mm-hmm. So we were trying to make do with life back then. But thankfully, you know, the world has turned and work has picked up again, so things are pretty much back to normal in my life now. So
that's awesome.
I've been super busy.
That's awesome, nice. Man, that's awesome. So one thing I wanted to talk to you about was that I was re-listening to the episode we did 2 years ago, right? Mm-hmm. And then you were saying you were talking about your parents' background. So your mom is a beauty queen and an actress, right?
Yeah.
And then your dad was a movie producer.
That's right.
So growing up in a household like that, where it's creativity is there, you know, being outside of the box of the normal life that you're supposed to have in the Philippines, does that give you like the ultimate confidence to be creative yourself too? Or
it does. And I think the good thing about it too is it made my life right now easier for me to digest, because whenever I talk to people in the industry and things start picking up in their lives in show business, they have a hard time adjusting, because the life of someone in this business is definitely different from working in an office or, you know, doing other stuff.
Right.
But since I grew up in the same environment ever since, it's part of my reality, you know?
Mm-hmm. So it's always been set in stone for you then, huh?
Yeah. So it didn't take a toll on my mental health or my concept of, you know, reality, or it didn't even bother my comfort zone. So I think it's a blessing on my side.
Right. Was there any pressure to maybe live up to what your parents did? Because I feel like if I was in that situation, and this is like a projection of mine, where I would feel the pressure of like, what if I'm not as good as them? Did you have any of that?
It could easily have. But then I think I'm fortunate that I grew up around a lot of people who gave me support. So I think I just have an inborn personality that makes me someone who's not worried about what people think. Like, because my brother, he really was a big star. He was an icon in the Philippines, and he still is. And my mom is, you know, she has her niche as well. It could have been a big problem for me. I mean, Janet Jackson had the same problem with Michael Jackson and similar families who have showbiz lineages. But then luckily, it never gave me that kind of pressure. So I was just enjoying the whole journey.
Was he an older sibling to you?
My brother, yeah. And in the 90s, I mean, with that monster hit of his, he's like, you know, the differences of our career was like Janet and Michael. He was totally a Michael Jackson back in the 90s, you know.
How did you handle that? Like, how did you go about your own career when your brother
I handled it by just canceling out the aspect of trying to outdo one another.
Right.
Because, I mean, whatever I do, I could never be a Randy Raymundo anyway. So I was just enjoying being Lance, and it made life easier for me.
I feel like once you get to that point of like just knowing who you are, you don't really care about anything else. Whether if it's your family, your friend, or somebody you look up to, as long as you're comfortable in your own skin, you could do whatever it is that
but
you
actually,
want to do.
But actually, when I was starting, even if I didn't have that in me, it was the media that was trying to make me feel that, because especially the first 10 years of my career, they would always refer to me as Randy's kid brother. Or whenever I release a song, they'd always make comparisons and, you know, who hit the charts better. Luckily, it didn't affect me, you know.
For sure, definitely, if I was in that position, it would have affected me big time just because of how I am. But the way you handle it, man, that's admirable, man. Just being able to be comfortable in your own skin and doing your own thing. Mm-hmm. I think that's really admirable, man. It's one of the things coming in here that I was really excited to talk about. I don't really have an idea of how Filipino film and TV is made. The only thing I know...
Filipino what?
Filipino TV and movies, how it's made, like how it's like being on set. So the only thing I know from that is I heard that there's really, really long days in Filipino filmmaking. Is that true?
That's true.
Yeah? How long are the days usually?
Well, before the pandemic, we would have days that extend 24 hours.
Oh my God.
Yeah, I mean, that was the life I got used to, because I've been acting since 2008, right? And there would be days that we'd be called to the set at 5 in the morning, and we'd go home at 10 a.m. the next day. So that's way over 24 hours, right?
Oh my Lord.
So where would crew sleep? How about the crew members? Did they sleep or no?
Well, we do have tents, and I don't know if it's the same in America, but normal practice of a Filipino actor is to bring your own portable bed that we could sleep on inside the air-conditioned tent. It's really hot here in the Philippines. So there's around probably 3 or 4 actors per tent, because the tent is pretty big, actually. And it gets fun, because especially if you get along with your co-stars.
Right.
And I'm not sure about the crews, though, because the sets never stop. So I think they come in shifts.
Oh, okay, I see. Man, 24. Yeah, that's the first thing I've heard where I was like, I wonder how that works. And I remember hearing somebody say, yeah, we go for like a day, like even more than a day.
I felt a difference when I did this American movie called A Thief, A Kid, and a Killer. There's an American production, an independent production that had this film for Amazon Prime.
Oh, okay.
And I was so shocked at how I was going home as early as 10 p.m. or sometimes 9:30 p.m. I was like, whoa, this is a treat, you know?
So here, you can't have more than a 16-hour day, from what I know.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, that's the longest I've been on a set is 16 hours. And then after those 16 hours, they have this thing called turnaround, where you have to have a certain amount of rest before you go back on set the next day.
Do you guys ever stay in a lock-in set? Like, you live in the set till the movie's over?
No. Never. Yeah.
I mean...
So you go home every day?
Yeah.
Or, I mean, Tony recently lived on set.
If we go up and shoot on location, then we'll, you know, we might live there for the week. But otherwise, no.
Yeah, for me, the one I did, so I did Nerf, and that was outside of LA, and that was in Oklahoma. So we were
Where did you guys stay for Nerf?
So they rented out a cabin for the cast. So we stayed in the cabin, and then whenever we need to film, it's just on the same location. Like, we just go out of our rooms, and we just start filming. But usually they have trailers. So pretend it's filming at a studio. They would just put them in a trailer. Each actor had their trailer, so...
An entire trailer per actor?
That's
awesome.
Yeah. And it's air-conditioned. There's a shower. There's a kitchen in there. There's a TV, a bed.
And depending on your status, too, the bigger the trailer gets.
Yeah. If you're a star name, you get, like, a really big trailer. Like,
literally a house. Yeah.
Somebody can live in
there. Every cast member at least gets a solo trailer, right?
Yeah, exactly. Over
here in the Philippines, there's usually the roommate system for actors. You'd always have at least one or two roommates, but... This is the part where I kind of, you know, used a little bit of a perk of my being an old timer in the business. I always add a writer in my contract to give me my own room at least.
Oh, there you go. There you go. That's
because when I'm not working, I'd rather sleep, you know.
Right. Definitely. I think rest is key in this industry.
Super. Yeah.
The only thing I can see like the group system benefiting you is the chemistry. Like you guys being in the same room together. Kind of talking about the movie and then just like creating that chemistry together. I can see how that can benefit that for sure.
Yeah, that benefits as well. But because I'm more of a, I'm sleep driven. So I work perfectly when I get my 8 hours. So
I feel that.
The problem is sometimes, like, especially if you're having fun. I mean, if it's a vacation, I'd love to be with roommates, you know.
Sure.
Because I think you know that, Justin, right?
Yeah.
I love my friends. But then... Imagine if I'm done with my scenes by 8 p.m. and I have roommates who are still shooting, studying their lines, and they shoot at 1 in the morning. So I'd surely stay awake because the lights are on. So it's better to get your own room. At least for me, for someone like me.
Yeah. I mean, at the end of the day, too, after I work, if I'm clocked out, I don't want to be with... It's not that I don't like my castmates or anyone that I'm working with, but I want to get my rest and recovery so I could give my best the next day, you know?
Yeah, true.
You know, that's like, it's not against anybody, but it would just be preferably. So you could negotiate your contracts when you get on a show. You could be like, oh, I want my own room. And usually they give it to you, huh?
As professionals, the biggest boss is always the movie. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So even if I'm working with my best friends, for that 1 week that I'm staying on the set, I try to forget about real life first, because if we want a party, we could do it next week, you know?
Right. So this is another thing that I've heard about Filipino filmmaking.
Uh-huh.
And I want to see if you could attest to this. I heard directors over there are really harsh sometimes.
I heard too, but luckily for me, in my compute, do the math, like I started in 2018, so how many years? It's my 14 years as an actor.
Uh-huh.
Still haven't experienced any horror stories with directors.
Okay.
But nice. I also hear major horror stories about some of them. But some of them I've worked with, it's been a smooth ride. So either I do my homework or that's why I never experienced that. Or I don't know. But then there are really big horror stories that I've heard about.
Do you have anyone that you know from the top of your head?
Yeah, I have. We've been through... problems like that, but I'm not sure if it's self-inflicted because they did bad stuff or you know, didn't follow the rules or forgot their lines,
right?
But I don't know.
Yeah So okay, so now let's go to the lighter side of things. So what's the most favorite project that you've worked on in your whole career?
My favorite project, let's see, in terms of output or the fun of the experience,
I think overall experience, because once I make those movies that do try to make money, I just want to see it is by experience and how in the moment I was in that project instead of thinking about the result. So yeah, overall experience.
Of like the full package, my stint in Ang Probinsyano, which is a super famous, I think 10-year long run TV series in the Philippines. Yeah. It's one of my favorites.
US tours. So they come all the way out here to do tours. Like I remember Coco Martin was just here in LA.
That show, you were probably in high school, and they're already on air, and they just stopped airing this year.
Yeah.
Oh, they stopped this year.
It's a long, it's been running for so long, and then the star name in that, Coco Martin's like a star.
It's like a showbiz almanac. The who's who in showbiz all had their chance to be part of that show. And I was super lucky because I worked with this actor named Eddie Garcia.
Oh.
And he's like the Marlon Brando of the Philippines.
Yeah.
What's the premise of the show?
So I learned a lot working with him. And I worked directly in his camp. So I played his, not adopted son, but he took me in his camp. His character did. So it was perfect. And everybody was super professional. And we kind of had a little bit of that American 16-hour schedule. Because I was working with someone in his 80s. So we couldn't stay in the set that long.
Right.
So I think my Ang Probinsyano stint is one of my favorites.
Yeah, that's a great show. And then the premise of the show. What's the premise of the show again?
It's about this one cop. He's like James Bond, you know?
There you go.
He gets away with everything and never dies. But of course, after 10 years, he finally dies.
There we go.
They killed him off to end the show.
Yeah,
that was the finale. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
It's a good show, man. It's a really good show, and what
and it's part of Filipino culture too. Yeah. I was telling my co-stars, as a joke, right? Mm-hmm. Like, if you weren't at least a part of that show for a week, you gotta question your status in the business.
Yo, that's so fun. Because literally everybody that had the right representation or like the right career would have some kind of stint in that show, right?
Yes, that's true. So I was kind of getting worried because the show was going on 7 years and I'm still not a part of it. Like, all right, where am I in this business? But finally, I got a good stint there that lasted pretty long. The reason why my character actually got removed was because the main co-star died in real life.
Oh, what? What happened? Did he die on set or something?
He died on the set.
Oh!
He tripped in the wire, man.
Oh!
But not in that show. In another show.
Oh, wait. So he tripped on a wire and what happened? Did he hit his head?
They were shooting an action scene and he tripped in the wire. And he's like 89 or 90. And it wasn't a super bad fall. But I think a vein snapped on his neck.
Oh.
So he was in a coma for a couple of days till he finally expired. But even his wife was emotional, saying he died doing what he loves best in life. Because he always talks on television saying he would never stop until the day he dies. So he's being hauled in the set in the wheelchair. They make him stand up to do his parts because he always plays as alpha male.
Yeah.
And when the cameras are off, they gently put him back in his wheelchair, which the audience would never know. Because still the last day, he looked like an action star.
Oh, my Lord.
Wow. That is...
Wait, what was his name?
Eddie Garcia. So you guys who are listening right now, even if you don't know the Philippines, just Google Eddie Garcia. And it's really inspiring to see this guy's body of work.
Yeah, he's a legend.
Rest in peace,
I know him,
Eddie.
Man.
Rest in peace.
He's a legend in the Filipino filmmaking community, man. He is a... I remember him when I was growing up in the Philippines. Like, my grandparents watched him all the time. Any show he was on, they were on it. So... You know, and one more thing that I want to talk about, that I want to learn about in the Filipino film industry. How do you get shows? Do you audition for them? Do you just go to meetings for them, or do they just offer it?
It's a mix of everything.
Okay.
You should never stop auditioning, no matter how famous you are.
Yeah.
But then there are good seasons when the roles just land on your on your lap.
Right. Do you
like my last three series, especially the ones showing right now, was just offered to me.
Wow.
But then, and this new movie that I'm in, that I'm lucky to be a part of, because it's going to be an epic.
Mm-hmm.
I pretty much casted myself because I met the director last week at a event.
Uh-huh.
And I literally told him in his face, like, "Direct, we've been friends for like 10 years and I've never worked with you. And I heard you have this new movie that's going on right now. I think I'm perfect for this part."
Damn. There you go.
Wow.
And he gave it to me on the spot.
Damn. That's awesome right there. I'll, honestly, if somebody came up to me too like that, I'd be like, "Let's do it then."
Yeah. For let's be a go-getter in this industry, because sometimes you have to ask for what you want, you know, because sometimes we get a little bit shy or we get a little modest, and there's this role that we really like that we think we could do a great job, but then it never gets offered to us. So if there's a way that you could offer yourself, I mean, you should try that.
Right, right. That's awesome.
Because it's not going to kill you if he says no, right?
Yeah.
Or if he says, like, you know, I don't think it's going to work out. It's just our ego. But even if our egos are hurt, if you check yourself, you didn't even develop fever. You didn't get sick. You didn't catch a cold. Yeah. So it doesn't kill us. Just go for it.
Yeah, exactly. I mean,
yeah, that's part of the industry for sure. Rejection.
You gotta be able to embarrassed handle that. Also as part of the industry. So you just have to get used to it.
Yeah, I think there's a saying called closed mouths don't get fed. Mm-hmm. You know, if you don't open your mouth and ask for what you want, you're not, how are you gonna get it? You know? So what's that movie about? Tell us about that. It's the Ninoy Aquino movie, right?
Yeah, it's a Ninoy Aquino movie. Uh-huh. If you're in the Philippines, or maybe even not, I mean, if you're someone that's interested in international history, the names Ninoy and Marcos would definitely ring a bell for people. And so this is a movie about the life of Ninoy Aquino.
Right. And then for those that don't know who Ninoy Aquino is, he was against the Marcos dictatorship, right? He was the leader of the rebel.
Yeah.
So I got that. And then, so when he was coming back from the States, he was coming back because he got extradited to the States. Is that correct?
Yeah.
Okay, so yeah, so he got extradited to the States, and when he was coming back to the Philippines, he was murdered on the tarmac of the international airport in Manila.
Oh, my Lord.
Yes, yes.
So it's going to be like a textbook adaptation, hopefully, you know. Mm-hmm. So it's because, I mean, the generation now, especially people who are born in the 90s, weren't born when that happened. Mm-hmm. So I think it's about time that people know more about the past, not just from hearsay, but from a really well-documented movie.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. I think showing that part of history is, you know, just key. It's like really, you just really want to see the real stuff that really happened. You know, I think that would be great. And that magnitude too, Lance, that's a big movie to be in, man. And you're going to play Gal Melon, right?
Yeah, the guy who allegedly shot Nina.
Oh,
yeah, yeah. How do you feel about playing him?
Actually, I really wanted to play that role. That's the reason why when I saw the director Vince Tanyanda, I was like, "Direct, I think I should play Galman." I said that.
Dang.
I can't believe I said it, but I said it. So, yeah. And it earned me the part. So that's what I'm saying to people. I mean, although we have to balance our ways of talking, especially to big shots like directors, because you don't want to get into their nerves as well. So you have to have the perfect balance of being lovable, but also assertive at the same time, you know?
Right, right. Seriously.
What steered you in that direction of wanting to be him?
What studio?
What steered you, like, in the direction of wanting to be Gaman? What interested you about the character?
Wait up. Let me put my ear nearer to the phone, okay?
Okay. What interests you about being Gaman in the movie? Okay.
Well, number one, I've been talking to my agent lately that I wanted a role that's more difficult for me to play, because for the past year and a half, I have had a lot of roles, but most of them are kind of close to my personality. Mm. So it's just like me talking to you guys. I like in my series right now on national television, I play a guy who flew back from America, you know, and he's like a spoiled brat, which I was pretty much a spoiled brat when I was young. So it's not much acting,
yeah,
but it's fun. And then in the other series, I play like this campus figure, which I was too. So as an actor, you'd like to play something that's far from your comfort zone. Right. And when I saw that they're filming Ninoy, I was like, of course I couldn't play Ninoy because they got a bigger actor to cast him. So I was hoping to play the gunman. You know, as an actor, you'd like to play stuff that's going to stretch your acting capabilities, right?
Right.
The gunman.
Yeah. The gunman that supposedly shot him. There's some theories I heard. There's like different theories about it.
Do you know? Can you spoil one?
Plus, I want to be a part of a movie that's going to be, that's going to stir the interest of a new generation of Filipinos, right?
Yeah.
Quick question, though. Isn't the current president has to do with that story, though?
Yeah, he's the son.
Actually, you'll never know.
Oh, okay.
I see.
Even stuff that you read in your textbooks in school, you'll never know because we weren't born in that era. So it's just a matter of trusting your gut feel on what really happened. But for me, I'm not doing this for any political motives. I'm just doing this as an artist. So
Right.
It's whenever I accept roles, I made it a policy to set my beliefs and my political views aside. I'm just working.
Right.
Love that.
It's art. It's not anything that you're trying to.
Except if I'm doing a film or a project that I know is too radical or changing the face of history, I'm not going to take part of it. But if it's just going to be a textbook kind of explanation, I'd be happy to be a part of that project, you know.
It's not saying anything in theory, it's that the textbook story of what you know they think happened. So
it's the standard story of what everyone's been told.
Just the textbook, literally textbook, right. So it's nothing that's going to be controversial or anything like that, where it's like you said, like changing history, that's different.
Like if they're going to make a movie about Jesus being a womanizer, I'm probably not gonna do that movie. You know what I mean?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, there's certain movies or shows that, you know, like as an actor, you get to pick whatever you want to be. You know, like whatever you want to do. So, you know, I feel like if it feels like it's for you, it's for you, and go do it. You know, so that's what I like about the industry that Lance is in, that we're in. It's like you get to choose what you want to make into real life, you know, what your reality is.
Yeah, and it doesn't matter if you're a big star or not, because you could choose not to audition for something that you don't believe in, right?
Yes.
No matter what your status is. So that gives you the freedom to choose, right?
Yes, exactly. So the other show that you're on right now is The Secrets of a Nympho, right?
Yeah, don't you love the title, man?
I love it. When I saw it earlier, I was like, dang, I want to know what that show is about. So what's that show about? What is The Secret of a Nympho about?
The Secrets of a Nympho, it's like a whodunit kind of series.
Yeah.
It's very Netflix, actually. I'm really proud to be part of that because we're stepping up in our game here in the Philippines.
I could tell,
and
man.
I myself would watch that. Even if I'm not part of it, I'd subscribe and watch that series.
Yeah, that's awesome. And then
there's like some rape and murder going on in the school, and there are detectives trying to find out who's involved.
Dang.
And it's my first time to have an S&M scene that's on plain view for everybody. And I was kind of, I mean, I'm not that young, but of course, I was worried about what my mom would feel. But when that photo of me licking some woman's thighs came out online, I was like, should I post it on my Instagram or not? But since I'm part of it and the Philippines would watch it anyway, I posted it. And my mom is the first one that commented, and she commented, awesome. I'm good.
Yo,
I'm good.
That is so cool, man. That is so cool. Yeah, that is
funny.
I can't even imagine if I'm in a scene like that. And the first thing in my mind is like, please, I hope my mom does not watch this.
I know, right?
I'm like, my butt cheeks is out. I'm licking a girl's thigh. I can't. No, mom, don't watch it.
we're in good company, man, though, because it's not just because we're Filipinos and conservative. I was reading an interview of Brad Pitt, and when he did that movie, Thelma and Louise, where he has the sexy scene with Gina Davis, the first thing that entered his mind is like, what would my mom say about this?
Yeah, I can't even imagine. So I want to transition real quick. So acting, singing, and is there anything else beyond that you look to try to do?
Well, I'm I'm actually carving my niche here in the Philippines as a host as well.
Okay.
So I've been hosting a lot of big pageants as well as awards nights here. And I'm happy because I'm being inducted into this generation's roster of respected hosts in the industry right
now. Wow. Congratulations. Congrats. That's awesome. That's awesome. So is there like an award ceremony for that?
Well, we have around 4 or 5 major award giving bodies for movies. We have FAMAS Awards, we have Aliw Awards, Star Awards, the Eddies, and Gawad Urian.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been hosting FAMAS lately, so it's a step up my game as a host here in the Philippines.
Mm. That's really awesome, man. That's awesome. That's awesome. So you're doing all these things from the movies, the shows, and the hosting. How do you balance everything out from your mental health and your professional career? And one of the things that we talked about with a guest before, she's an actress, is the identity outside of what you do. So the identity outside of the acting and the entertainment industry. How do you separate your own identity and self-worth and your self-worth in acting and hosting and singing?
Well, my identity is basically my job already.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm pretty much Lance Raimundo even outside of the job, because I'm not, you know, like when you're Prince or Michael Jackson, there's a persona, right?
Right.
So there's a difference when you're not being Prince in real life. But then what I do is something that I've been seeing around in my life ever since I was born. So, but in terms of balance, I'm just lucky to have a really efficient agent who balances my schedules. They clash sometimes. It's unavoidable. So sometimes I get a little bit of a headache when I have a day when I'm hosting, singing, and acting, and I only have 30 minutes gap. But I think being healthy is what helps me be my, you know, be at my best in everything I do.
Sure. Yeah.
And luckily there's Culver Padilla who keeps me healthy. He watches out for my nutrition and my workouts, you know.
Right. And I feel like Culver too, from what I see from the outside looking in, not only is he a great coach to you nutrition and physically, he's also like a great friend that will help you through your, you know, whatever mental stuff that you might be going
through.
He's
a friend. He's a life coach.
Yeah.
And you've been part, you're part of that circle, man. Even if
Appreciate it, man.
Physically in the Philippines, I mean, we're still a solid core group, you know?
Yeah. Thank you, man. I appreciate that. And it's really inspiring seeing you guys do your thing. Culver is excelling in what he does. You're excelling in what you guys do, man. And it's like that saying, you know, whoever you're around the most is probably how you are as well, you know. So when I see that, there's no envy. It's more of I'm so happy for you guys, and you guys inspire me to do better as well. You know, it's never anything where it's like, oh, he's doing better than me, man. No, it's never that, you know. So it's like seeing others succeed, like, helps me even become happier, because I'm happy for you guys, and I want to be, you know, somewhere there as well. You know, it's like, it's very, very inspiring to see.
But we're all doing stuff in our lives also that are, you know, like what you do there. Like I would kill to be in the Disney production, you know. I would also probably trade an entire TV series to be playing Nerf on camera. So, you know, we all do interesting things, right?
Right. Definitely. Yeah, we all have our own journey, for sure. Own stories and all everything, you know. And, yeah, like I said, man, it's just really inspiring to see everyone doing well and doing what they love. I think that was, like, the number one thing, you know. Being able to do what
you love. I can't believe your transition either. It's so for the books, man. Because the first time I saw you, you know, you struck me as someone who'd be playing ball in the Philippines for the rest of his life.
Uh-huh.
Because I thought that, you know, I didn't see the other dimensions. But then I don't know, maybe just hearing you speak or that aura of yours, I figured that you were the perfect guy to play the third character in Silent Night. And we did that video, then you went back to the States, and all of a sudden you're doing mainstream television there and reality shows. And you're also doing a lot of fashion, and you carry those clothes really well, man. Some clothes that you model are challenging to wear. It's not like a normal guy could walk around and be respected. But then you wear it and you carry it well and you own it and it works, right? So yeah. The transition is crazy, and I'm really happy seeing that. I was telling Culver, I watch you in awe when I look at your feed. So that's how the world works, you know. You just have to just keep on moving, right?
Right. Hey, man, first of all, I just want to say thank you. That is so flat. That made my whole entire week. Thank you for those words. That is really, really, really flattering. And yeah, man, I mean, dude, honestly, I just took it as when COVID happened, I had to come back home, right? I had to come back home to the States. I didn't want to be stuck in the Philippines because I didn't have my mom there. I didn't have a car there. I didn't have a, you know, like my home is Los Angeles. So I was like, I need to go home. And when I went home, I was still planning to go back to the Philippines and play. I was like, okay, I'm gonna just wait this thing out and play. And then I found out that I'm not going back again because another lockdown happened. So I was like, okay, what do I need to do? Like, I don't want to work an office job. I don't want to work at Target. I don't want to work a job. I want to be able to be free. And I'm like, what's the other thing that brings me happiness? I was like, let's try out modeling and acting because it's always been in the back of my mind. And I went in there, you know, with blind ignorance and blind expectations. I had no expectations on what I wanted to do. And the day I got signed to an agent, I was like, okay, this is crazy. The next day they sent me an audition. I get the part on my first audition. I was like, this is wild. And I'm not saying it's all perfect. It's ups and downs, you know, like before I got Disney, it was like a 6 months gap. Like I didn't work. I couldn't find anything. I couldn't get any of my auditions. And same thing now, like I got Disney and I thought after Disney, I'm like, okay, I might be able to use this as momentum. And it's about been 4 to 5 months. I'm still auditioning, you know, so it's not all up, but definitely,
that's
man.
That's our life, man.
Yeah, exactly, man. Like people, it may look like that. Like, you know, people always tell me when I see him again, it's like, damn, dude, you're doing so many great things. Like dude, I'm telling you, Marcos knows how up and down this is. And it's a challenge sometimes, but definitely, man, like I'm just trying to enjoy every part of the journey.
It's totally up and down. I feel you, man. Cause I have seasons like that. My 2011 to 13. Mm-hmm. Was an actor's dream because I probably if you check out my IMDb, the bulk of my work, I have like over 50 movies, but they're basically confined between the time period of 11 to 13, and the years after that I have like one movie a year, or probably a year without a movie at all, and it's only now that I'm picking up again. So you just have to keep on working, right?
Right. So how did you, so from that time you have 11 to 13 and you have that gap of no work or like one movie a year and sometimes no movie a year. How did you keep your positivity up? How did you keep the dream alive?
You just have to have a grip on reality, cuz look, even the biggest stars like that we watch, the reason why we think we see them every day is because they have movies that are immortalized that we watch every day. But sometimes there's some actors you realize that their last big film was 7 years ago, you know?
Yeah, that's so true.
Makes a good point.
Yeah, that's so
right?
true.
So, and it's also your chance to explore your other talents, your other means of making money, your you know, other aspects of your existence. Because even if we're actors, we shouldn't live with this idea that we're only going to be an actor, you know?
I feel like it puts you in a box if you just say, I'm just acting.
Yeah.
It closes.
Like, look at Dylan Sprouse and Cole Sprouse. I think Dylan Sprouse worked as a waiter for a while, right?
Yes. Yes.
When he's not acting. So, and I'm sure other actors or Hollywood actors do that too. They just don't talk about it publicly. Right?
Yeah. I mean,
we just have to be realistic. We can't live with this perfect idea. And if it doesn't work that way, we get depressed. We just have to be realistic in our existence, and that keeps us more stable, I guess, mentally.
It's part of the journey. It's kind of like kind of what makes you grateful, you know. So when you do, when you are rolling and you are getting all these roles and you are working, you're more grateful for that. You know, you appreciate that more when you're not working.
Yeah, definitely.
It's like, and another thing also is we should stop basing our success and the success of other people, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
That's huge.
Yes, comparing.
So when you look at social media, we look at it more for pegs and just for inspiration, but not to pattern ourselves. And besides, not everything that we see is real. Like some people think that I'm really rolling right now. But if you saw me hopping out of a limo last week, that limo's not mine. And if I'm wearing designer clothes, by now it's back on the rack. I've returned it to the owner. Right. So
definitely. Yeah, I in this age nowadays where we see everything at the snap of a finger, we see the best life, we see what people are wearing, we see where people are. You may think that's the only thing that's happening in their life, but you don't really see what's behind that, what they may be feeling, what problems they just had, what they just cried about. No one knows that.
Yeah,
you know, so it's very crazy that we compare our own selves to people online just to make us feel like crap. Like, why are we doing that? Like, we could be happy
and
for others.
The same applies for actors as well. Sure. Like for me, there's some stuff that I'm posting, like this series I'm in right now called Kalia Queens, which is airing just now, right? Mm-hmm. But the truth is, I shot my scenes probably like 8 months ago.
Oh, wow.
So some of my co-actors look at me saying, like, you're doing Nympho right now, but you're also doing Kalia Queens and this and that. So I look super busy. But then sometimes stuff that you filmed 2 years ago are just airing now. So if you promote them now, people think you're doing all these things, you know?
Exactly. That's the same. Yeah, I feel
you could
that.
Just be actually sitting in your house posting stuff that your agent sent you.
Yeah, no, seriously. Literally, when Disney came out, I was already 4 months jobless. Like, I haven't had a role in 4 months, and I posted. Everyone's still like, oh my God, what? You're done? Yeah, what? That's crazy. Congrats. Dude, that was 4 months ago, bro. I am jobless right now. What are you talking about?
Totally. So that's the reason why I love your podcast, because we're exposing the realities to make people know that we're all in the same boat right now, you know?
Yes. Like, yeah, it may seem like I'm an actor. And people say, what, you're an actor? Damn, what you been on? Disney? Nerf? What? Damn. I'm like, no, it's not damn. I've been jobless for almost 6 months. What do you mean? No.
No, and another thing also is, it's funny, now it's Christmas season, and you know, there's some people asking me for gifts or for donations. But I tell them that I'm saving up right now. And they can't believe me that I'm saving up. So, like, guys, if you saw me in the limo last week in my Instagram, I was just asked to get out of it by the agent. And another thing, maybe we earn, especially us who are on TV, probably earn a little more. But then one thing that you have to realize, even Hollywood actors who earn a lot, they also have investments that they shouldn't have done. Mm-hmm. So, you know, the expenditures are higher as well.
Sure. Yeah. Like houses.
Like, I have this friend who's a billionaire because he owns a multinational company. Mm. So if he earns by the billions, he's also paying workforce.
Yeah.
And electric bills for his companies by the hundreds of millions, you know, so... Yeah. Everything just balances the same. If you earn $100,000, but you're paying for a house that's almost $100,000 to win your bills, you end up with nothing, right?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. Like, once you get to that paycheck, I feel like you'd want to buy a house. You'd want to buy a car. And what, you have to pay for that still, you know? So.
Yeah, but if you're an employee, you work in a fast food, but you're staying in a decent place, a modest home that, it's pretty affordable. You probably save more than that billionaire guy who's paying for his company.
Definitely. And probably way more happier than him.
Oh, yeah. I guess going through
it. It depends, too, how... Yeah. I have some super rich friends who are super happy, but I have some super rich friends who would rather, you know, not be that rich, because the way they handle their money is becoming problematic in terms of their relationships with their family and their loved ones. So it's just how you play the game, I guess.
Sure, right? Yeah, definitely. Yeah, there's some people that work the 9-to-5, they're really happy, and then some of them are not happy. You know, yeah. Just very subjective on how they view life and how they feel, mm-hmm. you know. So so when being in the Philippines right now, how is it? Is it back to normal? Like, is COVID still around? People wearing masks?
I think we're like 90% back to normal here.
Okay. Can you travel out? Can people just come in without having the COVID test and everything? Or do you still have to COVID test to get into the Philippines?
I think so, because I was in Boracay a couple of months ago, and I didn't have to go through all that drama that I had to go through when I went to Boracay last year.
I see.
It was way easier. Yeah. I remember last year I had to go to a doctor, get certificates, do all these online question and answers. But I kind of just hopped in last summer.
Right. Yeah, that's freaking, yeah, the COVID there.
So I guess it's easier now.
Yeah, definitely. And then, so pretend somebody wants to try acting in the Philippines. What would you tell them to do? Like, what's the first step to get an agent or get a manager, or where do you start to try to be an actor in the Philippines?
Well, we live by the times, right? Mm-hmm. And now, for some reason, it's easier to break in if you have an online presence.
Mm-hmm. Wow!
So you have to establish yourself on TikTok, or have a really talked about YouTube channel. That's a shortcut right now, just for now, for the time being. But if you want to do it the tried and tested way, it's also through really being vigilant and also very patient with your auditionings. You should really audition. That's right. I think that's still the best way to do it, and the lasting way. Yeah. If you want to enter the business, not using the current trends.
Right. So I remember for Disney Big Shot, one of the new series leads on there, she was a TikTok star. Mm. Yeah. That's how she got it. That's how she got the audition.
Because that's the age we're in right now. I mean, yeah. Even back in 2019, TikTok won't get you anywhere, you know?
Right. It's just a video.
But now in 2021, 22, and probably till 23, it's probably going to be a ticket to the business. So for those who have a following, I mean, it's probably your chance now, and grab it while it's there.
Right. Okay, so you get into the business. What's your advice to people that are in the business to stay in the business, to keep working, to keep getting jobs?
Well, old school advice is still the best advice. So if you're already in the business, don't forget your professionalism. Mm-hmm. Always be on the set an hour before call time. Mm-hmm. Do your homework. If they give you the script, memorize it word per word a week or so before the shoot. So by the time you're in the shoot, you're no longer acting. You're already your character. Right. And be a nice person. Like that. Be friendly with everybody. Because as an insider, I've witnessed how there, you know, like when you weed out characters for casting, right? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And the director is ready, finally choosing between two last actors left for that role. The question I actually hear is, who would you rather spend 24 hours with? Mm. So you have two actors of the same status, the same talent, but one is a headache on the set. So they choose someone that you'd rather spend 24 hours with. So it's really best to be a good person.
Yeah.
I mean, at the end of the day, it is a job, and you need that chemistry. Yeah. And then, I mean, you like you said, you're working 24 plus hours sometimes. So, I mean, having to deal with someone annoying for 24 hours, I can only imagine.
Yeah, because sometimes when you're in a series, right, and there's a new character that's written, so we're already there, and they're planning who to get. I hear that all the time. They're like, this guy is really awesome, but then would you like to spend 24 hours with this guy inside the tent? They'd be like, no. All right, let's have this other guy then.
Damn.
That's actually the first advice I got too.
Really? But don't be fake. I mean, they'd know. They'd know if you're just trying to pretend to be nice. So you just have to embrace. You know, we're all born babies, nice people, innocent babies. So we can't say that we're mean for life because we were once cute little nice things, you know, at home.
Yeah, we were once innocent, happy going little
cute
humans.
Babies. So that little baby is still living inside your heart. So you just always have to you know, dig that part of you out every now and then.
Yes, yeah.
Well said, well said.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Why go through life where set pissed off and annoyed? Why can't we just all be smiling, happy, can't genuinely care for each other? You know, like why are we gonna make set difficult? You know?
Yeah, actually, you know what? I'm not trying to sound all fantasy-like, but we can, because I've been there. You know, I've experienced it.
Mm-hmm. And it's not, yeah, it's not fantasy at all, man. I mean, dude, let's be happy. Let's be children again. Let's be those.
I mean, just to get back to that story, even just for a few seconds. When I had this accident in 2014, you know, I was at the peak of my career, like I told you, and it was that inner positivity of mine that helped me get through the problem. So I was able to do it. I proved to myself I could do it. Mm-hmm. And I'm a normal guy. I'm not special or living in a higher plane than other people. I'm like everyone else. So if I could do it, everyone else could do it, you know?
Sure. Yeah. So for those that don't know, that's listening now, maybe they're a new listener, could we maybe try to tell them the story of that accident, Lance?
Yeah. In a nutshell, I was peaking in my career, and just as I was getting to where I wanted to be, near-death experience happened to me in the gym. 105-pound barbell accidentally fell in my face, crushed my face, and also crushed my dreams. But then I held on with life, and here we are now.
Yeah. How many surgeries did you have to get again?
I had two. I had one major surgery where they had to install titanium in my skull to piece it back together.
Oh my lord!
It was a major damage, and the second one was to just like sealing the deal, you know, like detailing a car. Right.
I don't want to walk you through the memory again, Lance, but I'm from the last time we were talking. I kind of remember the story. It was with the trainer, right?
Yeah. A trainer accidentally tripped while I was doing dumbbell flies, laying down in the bench, on the bench. So the 105-pound barbell that was hanging above me fell right smack in my face and drove through my face. Oh, so the bar literally drove through a few inches inside my face.
Wow.
God, that is crazy.
Oh my God.
So that was super life-threatening and almost life-changing, because I could have spent my entire life in a wheelchair and also physically deformed. But then that's not part of my life story. That's not what destiny had in store for me. So, I got back on my feet, and with a couple of surgeries and a lot of motivation and good vibes from people around me, I also sprung back physically.
I love that.
I also remember you saying that you being, you know, graceful and you know ultimately forgiving him on the spot, that kind of saved your life, right?
Oh, that's key as well, because now that we're talking about it, I think that's where that little baby inside your heart topic that's why we got back there, because I'm a regular guy with a lot of dreams. Mm-hmm. Kind of alpha like most guys. Mm-hmm. So when that guy accidentally dropped the barbell in my face, if I lived up to my alpha side, right, I'd be mad at him. I'd have someone beat him up, right?
Right.
But then I made that little baby of mine take the steering wheel in my life. And I decided, like, he didn't mean to trip. And the best thing to do is just forgive the guy. And when I forgave him, that was when everything became easier for me. Because, like, when you're not angry, when you've forgiven, you also let go of your baggages in life. And instead of thinking how my life is over because I'm stuck in a wheelchair, my face is busted, forgiving him opened up all the possibilities in life too. Because I told myself, like, I'm not confined to being an actor to make my life meaningful. If I'm going to spend the rest of my life in a wheelchair with a deformed face, I could still have a meaningful existence because I still have my brain. I still have my intellect. I still have my ability to reason, to love. So I could be an awesome mathematician. I could be a teacher. Yeah. I could be a politician. It's endless, right? So when you lose something, it's not the end. There's always a way to continue living and to continue making a difference in this world.
Yes.
Oh, thank you so much for that, Lance. That was really inspirational. Yeah. I truly thank you for taking us back on that story and you know, just showing us the reality of what it is to be a genuine good human, you know, just having that, finding that little baby in you and learning that this life is short, you know, and ultimately things happen and things happen to this nature, you know, where it could possibly end your life. And sometimes you gotta, you know, take a step back and, you know, take a breather and kind of just,
and you know, I was sincerely content in living that new chapter of my life. I convinced myself, I talked to myself and say, like, it's just about accepting what life gives you. And life gave me that, and at that time of my life. So I just chose to accept it, because the more you deny your current situation, the more you're going to be depressed, right?
Right.
Correct.
Because the more I deny to myself, like, okay, I'm stuck in the wheelchair, but I'm still going to be an action star. I'm going to make it work. And if it never happens, you know, you'd be totally depressed, right? But at that moment, I told myself, all right, you may never get to walk again. So let's change the game. Let's see where else we could excel. So that was what I was focusing on already.
Right, right.
Yeah. But then, since that's what destiny didn't have that plan for me, and life brought me back on my feet, got me my face back, what I'm doing now is considered like a bonus, right? Because I was willing to live the rest of my life in a wheelchair. Right. And when you do stuff beyond your expectations, it just makes it sweeter, right?
Yes.
Definitely.
Yes. So this is pretty much your second chance of life.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wow. That's inspiring, man. And I really, truly, truly, genuinely admire that you forgave him. I think that's something for me would be really hard to do, first of all. But for you to do that, man, that's really admirable. It shows the heart.
Yeah,
and
I think there's a reason for this podcast again, because I wasn't even planning to talk about this. But one of your questions inspired this. So maybe for new listeners who never had the chance to listen to the podcast before, at least, yes, Justin is right. It's better to be forgiving.
Yes, yes, definitely. I think the one thing that I really got away from everything that we just talked about right now is, you know, if you live in the past, that brings sadness, that brings regret. You're not in the
yeah,
present.
Yeah, that's true, man. Yeah.
And then if you live in the future, you're just too anxious and too worried. But if you live in the current, that brings the calm. That brings the...
Yeah, you live in the current and do your best, because doing your best in the current is what's going to shape your future.
Yes, yes. It's like what you do on a daily basis, on an hourly basis, the choices you make. Like that saying I told you, Marcos, how you do anything is how you do everything.
Right.
You know, the littlest thing. If for me, I use this for my workouts. If I'm going to skip one rep, if I'm going to skip one set, I might skip my next thing that I need to get done. If I'm writing a script, I might skip the next line because I'm already tired. I'll leave it for tomorrow. You know, it started in my workout because I wanted to skip a set or skip a rep. So I'll skip the last line that I want to write or the last line I want to act, you know, when I'm practicing acting, not when I'm on set. But you know that, like, that's just like every single day. If we just could be in the current, it's going to be easy to forget, to forgive. I feel like I feel like one of the things that made you forgive him is that you're so in the moment and you just thought, like, you know what, I'm gonna just forgive him because this is gonna let me live my life at peace, you know? So it's like just being here, being now. I feel like that's the biggest thing, yeah. Because too far ahead in the future will just bring anxiety. Too far behind in the past will just bring you sadness or regret or just not being in the present moment, you know? So,
wow.
Yeah, man.
touching stuff.
So that's our takeaway from today's episode.
Yeah. Exactly, man. Exactly. That's why I love talking to you, man. That's why we love talking to you. We love your insight about life, man. You're just a genuine guy, bro. And we really
And another thing that I'd like to leave with you guys and also the people listening. Mm-hmm. Is we shouldn't be afraid to really be a go-getter and to really work for our dreams and verbalize about it.
Right.
And we should never be afraid to be embarrassed, because embarrassment won't kill us, guys, you know?
Yes.
I think the reason people always ask me nowadays, if I still get nervous hopping on cam or going up on stage, and I've actually stopped being nervous because I've stopped being afraid of making mistakes, you know? Mm-hmm. Like yesterday, in fact, yesterday I was singing in front of hundreds or probably 1,000 college students. Mm-hmm. And I was singing this really popular song here in the Philippines right now. And I know 100% that I goofed in the lyrics, but well, that song belongs to me when I was singing it, right? So right. That's my lyrics.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
But if I'm being my old self, I'd be so nervous, like, oh my God, I goofed into the lyrics. What are they thinking right now? But you just have to change your mindset. I mean, I'm holding the mic, so if I make a mistake, it's my game, you know? Or even if I trip on stage, remember, guys, you know, if you're doing a stage play, or if you're performing, if you're modeling, and you trip or you look stupid, people laugh, right?
Right.
And it makes their day.
Yeah. Yeah.
Sometimes that's the thing that they'd least forget for the rest of their lives.
Yeah.
And as entertainers, the name of our job is we are entertainers. So if that mistake entertained them, then we actually did our job. Right?
It's all part of the job.
Great point.
Yeah.
It's all part of the freaking job, man. So yeah, man.
And also embarrassment. One last thing.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I offered my services to the director because I wanted the role. If he laughs at me in my face, because he's like, dude, you're not even good for that role. Even if he laughed at me and embarrassed me, I didn't die, right? So life goes on. So
yeah, yeah. You know, you took the shot and you made it. If you missed, you missed, you know, but you made it. So it's all good.
So that's my advice to people who want to break into business. Right. I'll kill that embarrassment side.
Yeah. Literally everyone gets embarrassed every day. You do something embarrassing, man. So, well, Lance, that was freaking great, man. It's always, that didn't feel like an hour. Did that feel like an hour to you, Lance?
Has it been an hour?
It's been an hour. It's been an hour, right?
It's been an hour and about 15 minutes.
Yeah, it's been an hour and 15 minutes. It doesn't feel like it.
You can edit stuff, man.
No, that will definitely keep it real, man. And yeah, man, like really, seriously, and genuinely, thank you for doing this. I know it's early Saturday.
Thank you, and it's nice catching up, dude. I miss you guys. I miss you, Justin. Like, man.
I miss you too,
man. Like you being here in the Philippines, but that's a good, that's a great way to catch up. And Marcos, I hope to meet in person one day.
Yeah, most definitely. We're planning on going out there soon, so maybe we can do an in-person podcast in your brother's studio.
Yeah. Or if I get there next year in America.
Yeah. Oh, let perfect. Us know. Let us know.
Yeah, please.
And then before we end off the podcast, I wanted to talk to you about something. So I remember in the first episode, you said that your dad is a movie producer, right?
Yes.
So when I heard that, I'm like, when I first heard it, I wasn't in the industry yet. I was just a basketball player, right? So now that I hear that he's a movie producer, have you ever thought about producing a movie too, or no?
It's not part of my goals or my dreams in life, because I'm just really happy being on camera.
Right, right. Of course. Yeah. Yeah. So
I've been offered to produce, actually, but then it's still not, it's nothing that I've been really exploring at the moment.
Right, right, right. What was that movie they asked you to produce? Is it a movie or a show?
That they were asking me? They were asking me to produce a movie, actually.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I just wanted to hear.
But maybe, I mean, because I think being around this industry, being born around them, I probably have the knack. And the eye or the talent for actually producing.
Right.
So maybe on the next chapter of my life.
Right.
Because right now, I'm exerting and giving and offering all my energy just to be on in front of the camera.
Sure. Yeah. Sure. Sure. Yeah. That's definitely. Yeah. That's one thing that I, because recently I watched a show called The Offer, and it's about the production of The Godfather, how they produced it.
Really?
Yeah. And it's something that I watched and I'm like, yo, I want to produce something. But then one thing that I did, one of the main inspirations was I wanted to show our culture, our Filipino culture in the Western world. Because, you know, now there's Parasite for the Koreans. There's certain movies for certain cultures that have made its rounds around the world. Yeah. And I feel like us Filipinos, we have so much culture that's not represented. I want to create something that will get us on the map. You know,
if you want to do that, I'm totally supporting you.
Yeah, thank you, man. Thank you. But that's definitely something that we're looking to do, man. And maybe one day me and you and we could work on it together, hopefully, and try to make it happen and try to produce something for our culture, you know?
Yeah. So, and maybe I could help fund it. Then you could do the whole production side.
That's one thing too. We could probably do that too.
One thing we can do.
Yeah, we could do that too. But yeah, we'll definitely talk about it sometime in the future. That's something that hopefully we could work together. And
I kind of have a feeling though that our next episode for this podcast is going to be face to face.
Yeah.
I could envision like probably being in America doing this right next to you, or you guys visiting the Philippines. Right?
Yeah, no, definitely.
We've talked about
definitely,
this.
Definitely. That's something I'm planning on coming home next year, sometime next year to hopefully try to do this movie. That's like one of my goals next year. So maybe
American, a Filipino American producer director is actually flying in January, and we have a project together here.
Wow, really?
Okay.
Yeah, but that one, he hasn't given me the blessing to discuss. Okay. But yeah, he's Filipino-American, and it's really interesting because he has actors from Brazil, Japan, one American, and a couple of Filipinos, and they're all flying here. I don't have to fly because it's going to happen right here where I live, so I'm the one who has it the easiest.
Can I try to guess his name? If his name is not it, you could tell me it's not him. I just want to know. I might have a feeling who it is.
Okay, you could guess it.
Does his first name start with Chris?
No.
Okay, all right. It's not him. All right, it's not who I thought it was.
Does start with Chris?
His name starts with the same letter as your name, man, actually.
J. Okay. Yeah, I have.
Yeah, but that's how as far as I'm gonna go. I don't want to.
Do that. No, definitely.
Fine. Pull me out of the project for doing too much.
All good. Yeah, no, it's all good. It's all good. Well, yeah, man. Yeah, definitely. Next time we do this, it's gonna be in person for sure. I'm confident. Yep. I'm confident in it, man. So, hey, Lance, thank you again. Seriously, you have any last words for anyone listening? Anyone you want to shout out?
Well, just keep supporting this show, guys. It's an awesome show. You got two great guys on the mic. And so, that's it. And thanks for having me again.
Of course, man. Any
looking forward to the next, guys.
Yes, definitely. We're definitely going to do another one. All right, man. Well, Lance, thank you so much. And, yeah, we'll see you guys later.
All right. See you guys.
All right.